Gord, I want to talk about the Arizona, the possible plan of baseball resuming play in Arizona for a minute, because that is where the Brewers hold their spring training. But I'm not going to ask you to go through every emotion of game four, but I'm going to ask you this. What was the highest point of game four for you, and what was the lowest point of game four for you?
Well, you know, first of all, you're talking about 27 years ago. I'm not sure my memory is as good as it needs to be, but it was an interesting night, to say the least. But having scored 10 runs the night before, I think we were always very confident in our offense. I'm not sure confident enough to score 15 runs, but certainly we were confident in the offense. I just recall it was a miserable, miserable night, and our seats, we were fortunate enough to have what should have been very good seats in the first row just past the Blue Jays dugout, but unfortunately it was below sea level, so all of the water seemed to gather right there, so our feet were in several inches of water for most of the game. But I don't know why, but for some reason what stands out to me is Cito went out to the mound and called for a right-hander, and called for a left-hander, and in strolled a right-hander, and the umpires allowed the change, which I don't think I've seen before or since. that oddity strikes me as odd. The other thing that is memorable from that night is, because of course the game was so long and it was started late anyways, I don't think we got back to our hotel till like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And another strange aspect is for whatever reason, the visiting team hotel was never taken care of. So at the last minute, they had to scramble to find us a hotel, which was literally 50 miles from Veterans Stadium. So we were a long way out, and we got back to the hotel, and obviously everybody was in a great mood. But, of course, the hotel bar had closed by that time. So somebody had the bright idea of having a hospitality room, and we celebrated there.
Well, that's good. Whoever had that bright idea, you should thank them. I hope they were well compensated and, earned a promotion for that one, Gordy.
You sure his initials weren't Paul Beeston?
My guess is it might have been Paul Beeston.
Yeah, that's a heck of a guess. Yeah, that would be my guess too. Hey, Gord, I was talking to, I talked to Cito over the weekend and did a little interview with him in these weird, one of these virtual interviews we're doing. And we were talking about that game and about that series. And I think we both agreed that, if you want to look for a turning point in the 93 series, that's it. Because, in game five, Schilling came out and, probably because everybody was hung over from the hospitality room, but completely shut the Jays down. He was tremendous in that series. And, going back to Toronto for game six would have looked a little different, had the Jays lost that game four. It would have. So, it's a strange game and a bizarre game in a lot of ways. But, winning that one 15-14 kind of turned the series, didn't it?
It sure did. I think we felt pretty good going into Philadelphia. And, we knew the Philly. I mean, not that we played them a lot in the regular season, of course, but because we were neighbors in spring training and knew a lot about the Phillies, played them a lot in the spring training. So there weren't a lot of surprises for us, and our scouts did a good job in prepping the players on some of the subtleties that had happened through the course of the year. But I think when we won game three, that buoyed our confidence as well, especially the way the game turned 10-2, I think was the end of the result. But, that game, that 15-14 game, it'll be fun to I'm glad it's condensed. I'm not sure I'd want to live through that 4 hours, whatever minutes it was again. But it was an interesting game, an important game. I don't think it was a tide turner like the Alomar home run in Oakland was, because I think we had gotten past that at that point, and now we're playing with confidence especially from winning in 92. And everybody always talked about how difficult it was to repeat. That probably was the thing that was on most people's minds at that time was, everybody kept telling, you can't repeat. It's so hard to repeat. But, we were obviously able to do it.
Gord, I do want to shift focus a little bit to, Jeff Passan had an article earlier this week that got a lot of people talking. And it's something that I know people have people around the game kind of started talking about when it was obvious that there was going to be some sort of shutdown, or we were going to be shut down for some period of time about the pandemic, or because of the pandemic. And Jeff's story was this idea that perhaps Major League Baseball will get the game going again in May or June, probably June, I would think, and possibly use the spring training facilities in Arizona as a focal point because, one, they're generally closer together than the spring training facilities in Florida. And knock on wood right now, it seems as if Arizona may be a little less of a hot spot than Florida is, although that's kind of a mug's game right now, thinking about how it might be 2 or 3 weeks down the road. So I you know, I don't want state secrets, but as someone who has spent spring training in Arizona with the Brewers, tell us a little bit how you think it might work and the logistics involved in doing it.
Well, we had a conference call this morning with our personnel, and this topic came up, and we were told that this is just one of many scenarios. Of course, all the sports leagues are going through the various scenarios that they may need to implement in case the season is, in our case, started, or in the other seasons, restarted. But, you know, from a grand overview point of view, Phoenix is a perfect place because everything is so concise. If you think of an area, just think about Metro or the GTA, you think Mississauga to, say, Oshawa, that kind of geography, that's, you know, you got all the ballparks in that area, so nobody's really going anywhere for any length of distance, so that part works. Certainly the facilities are all new, no capacity of any measure, but certainly the facilities are major league quality, and I'm sure advantageous for television purposes, which I'm sure is a lot of what this is all about. What doesn't work is anybody that's been in Phoenix in June, July, and August, it is 115 degrees and it feels every bit of that. So it won't be a pleasant play environment just because of the heat. Facilities are good, travel is good, but there are just so many things to think about. And it's not just the players on the field, it's, you know, all the support personnel that are required and are there, and just so many things to think about. And as I was told this morning, this is just one of several scenarios that they're discussing. And I think what is key here is that there is an appetite to play. Players want to play. And, you know, baseball, and I think different from the other sports, and this struck me today, this morning, for some reason, we're used to doing something every day. There's a game every day. And if you're not playing, you're probably traveling. There's very few true off days, so the fact that you're not doing anything, I think now 3 weeks into this, I think everybody's starting to get to the point where they'd like to see something happen.
I just, without giving up specifics, Gorks, you know, obviously that was done in confidence, but how would you kind of characterize the tone of that call? You know, what, as you say, I get the sense that, you know, obviously, you know, people want to play because it's what they do, because it's what they get paid to do, because it's, you know, what they've been doing their whole lives, most of these guys. But I get the sense that, you know, I'd say that saying that they're planning to play again this year is probably too strong because there's so much uncertainty, but that there's some kind of forward momentum as much as there can be given that uncertainty. You know, I know that's a fine distinction, but would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, the commissioner's office and league officials and the players association doing everything they can to think of opportunities to put this game back on the forefront, but only if it's done in a healthy way, in a safe way, and that's where the discrepancy comes in here, because as much as everybody wants to play and as everybody wants to see some kind of sport on television, there's just so many hurdles to overcome and details to overcome, and it has to be safe. And you know, what do you do in the situation where a player just doesn't want to do it? I mean, I don't think you can force players to do something that they're not comfortable with, especially in this environment. So, you know, there are a lot of issues like that, and I think that, you know, there's not total unanimity on this. For certain, there's a lot of different opinions, and you know, I think at this point, what I can best call it is speculation. I don't think we can call it any more than that at this point.
Gord, when the game was shut down, what were from an organization's point of view, what was the major concern? Was it getting guys relocated, or getting your players, you know, getting them established in one area so they could quarantine or they could self-isolate? And just how much was involved in getting that whole, you know, in the logistics of getting that done?
Well, I was out to dinner with our GM, David Stearns, the night before, and we talked about the fact that we thought this was going to come to a pretty quick end, and started to think about things that had to be taken care of. And I think one of the greatest difficulties, which is still one of the major issues, is there's just so much change in information. You know, one at 3 o'clock it was going to be this way, and at 4 o'clock it was going to be that way, and at 6 o'clock it was going to be this way. Initially, we thought players could stay in place, no organized workouts, but if they wanted to come to the facility and get in their work, they could, and then that quickly changed. I think the biggest obstacle and the most concerning to us was the Venezuelan players, especially the Venezuelan minor league players who could not return home. And, you know, right now, we have about 18 of them housed in Arizona in apartments and trying to keep them as active as possible and make sure they get the food they need, those kind of things. So, you know, those small little details like that are what get overlooked in situations like this. But I think it's the uncertainty was the biggest issue, and the fact that nobody really knew what you could and couldn't do. And I think what we tried to do, the Brewers tried to do, is just do the smart common sense thing and just get people to their where they were comfortable and feeling like they were going to be healthy and safe.
Did a lot of your minor league or your major league players, I mean, kind of stay around the spring training area there, or did they kind of disperse with the Four Winds to wherever they come, wherever their homes are?
No, Stephen, I think a good number of players, and if you'll recall, initially there was going to be you could stay in the spring training site, you could go to the home city, or you could return to your home. You had that choice, and our camp was probably about a third in each of those environments. A third stayed in Arizona, a third went to Milwaukee, and you know, a third went home. And you know, the idea was those in Milwaukee could work out, and that quickly changed when there was a need to stay home, and then the players in Arizona could continue to work out, but they had to do it on an individual basis, and that's pretty tough to do when you're talking about a sport that generally requires a couple of people at least, even to play catch.
You know, Gord, I mean, baseball's had to deal with, you know, earthquakes during the World Series, labor stoppages. I'm wondering, as someone who was an assistant GM and a general manager, and now you're in an advisory capacity with the Brewers, you're vice president of baseball projects, you know, how much thought, yeah, that's probably the wrong way to put it, Gord, but nobody's ever prepared for a pandemic, but how much is Major League Baseball, or was Major League Baseball, prepared for something catastrophic? Like, there, I, you know, we had David Sampson. He said, well, there is kind of a playbook, you know, for dealing with things like, you know, God forbid a charter should crash, or there's a hurricane or something like this. How much planning goes into a crisis situation for Major League Baseball? Is there in effect a handbook?
There is, but as you say, it covers you know, the kind of disastrous scenarios that you just described. I don't think anybody planned for something like this, and to be, you know, where movement is so restricted and the distancing is such an integral part of the program, that it's nobody's planned for this. And that's why I think right now you're seeing a lot of speculation on all of these different scenarios to come back, because you know, it's a blank slate. It's everybody's looking for the best way to do this. It's going to have to be done, obviously, with medical guidance. And you've already had a number of governors say you can't play here until such and such a date, which makes sense given their health status. So that's why the idea of a central site has probably taken hold a little bit.
Gord, how are you keeping up through all this?
Well, it's, you know, I've been kind of, as you say, more of an advisory role transitioning, so I wasn't working every day. My project currently was trying to help construct a new facility for the breweries in the Dominican Republic. So I was spending 10 days or so a month in the Dominican, which has come to a halt now. But no, I'm doing fine. It's been fun to watch some of these old games. You know, some of the classic games have been replayed, and certainly the 92 and 93 games have been fun to watch. You know, when you're there and when you're in the middle of it, you don't get to appreciate some of the subtleties that you can get on television that you don't get being in the stands. And you know, for 26 or 7 years now, I've been promising myself I would sit down and watch these games, and I never have. So this has been a good opportunity to do that.